welcome to the Apex Perspective. My name is Frank, and I am your host today. And we got a very fun episode for you guys to share with. To share today's episode, I have Leo of the Apex Pack Openings crew.
Yes, sir. What's going on, everybody? Hopefully everyone is doing well. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode or show of the Apex Perspective. Happy to be here.
Yes, sir. We got a very fun filled episode today, and we're going to be talking about Comic-Cons today. We're going to talk about some of our past experiences and then get into some of the tips and tricks that we've learned along the way while attending various Comic-Cons throughout the years. And yeah, I mean, Leo and I, we've been attending Comic-Cons for the past, what, Leo? It's been like, what, 10 years almost?
Almost. Now? I think next year actually will be like 10 years of Comic-Cons that we've attended. I think the first one was 2015.
Yeah,
Emerald City Comic-Con 2015.
Yes, sir. That's been a long time ago, and man, what a journey it's been attending all these Comic-Cons that we go to every single year. But yeah, so kind of just to kind of give you guys an idea, I mean, that was our first Comic-Con. I think we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. Things that I can remember from that Comic-Con about 9, 10 years ago now is Stan Lee was there. And that was one of the craziest, you know, looking back now, it's kind of crazy to think that we were about 10 feet away from Stan Lee. Hopefully he's enjoying the show from up there. But yeah, it's been a kind of crazy journey. I remember seeing Leo be speechless when we first met John Barrowman there. And we also met quite a few other actors and actresses as well, too. And so it was a very fun time, wonderful experience to be at Emerald City Comic Con. They made it really fun. So it was a journey. What do you remember from that Comic Con, Leo?
Yeah, no, it was super, super cool. I think it was one of our, you know, it was the first experience we had into that sort of realm of, you know, going, attending an event where you can meet celebrity guests like that. So it was really, really fun. I think we met our first one of the celebrities that we love to see time and time again, John Wesley Shipp, was there for that Comic-Con, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he was still the Flash from the 90s, but he wasn't Jay Garrick that we saw on the new adaptation with Grant Gustin.
He might have been, actually.
Oh, I think he was just the father still. Yeah, I think that was just a...
And he might, I mean, by the time we met him, like, he was just about to become Jay Garrick or had just become Jay Garrick, but... Yeah, it was because I think you got the print signed of him with him as Jay.
No, I didn't. I got him as a 90s Flash.
Oh, that's
yeah, because
right.
The show
that's
was right. Barely rolling out. It was still around like I believe it was like around season one because Smallville just ended in 2012, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. We'll have to fact check these. Yeah. But the Smallville show just ended and the Flash and the Green Arrow show were starting to pick up more and more.
Yeah, I remember because Green Arrow came out like the year after, or 2 years after, I think, Smallville ended.
Yeah, and then
Flash came out not too soon after. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the time, I think John Wesley Shipp was Henry Allen as Grant Gustin's father there. But yeah, man, he's always a real pleasure to meet time and time again. So I'm with you on that. I think we've met him how many times? At least five?
By now, yeah. I mean, he's gone to several of the Comic Cons that we've been to, so it's always a treat, you know, talking to him for like half an hour.
Yeah, right.
And just chatting up, seeing how things are going and that kind of thing. So yeah, definitely one of the cooler celebrities that we've met.
Agreed. Any other things you remember from that show, Leo? I'm gonna tell the story about almost getting trampled over, but
yeah, that was one of the highlights. Like, so we were at Stan Lee's like area. He had the whole area dedicated to him, and he had a whole section of like all of his like signed collectibles and that kind of thing. And Frank and I had just gotten done looking at all the signed comic books, and we actually picked one up. And then we were walking away to like go check out what other celebrities were on the other side of the building. And just as soon as we were crossing through, sure enough, like security like lifted the ropes basically for fans to start filling in. And I just turned to my left and I see a horde of people like rushing like as fast as they can to be first in line. I was like, oh my goodness, I am about to get trampled.
Yeah, no, that was my same exact reaction. Just to kind of paint the picture a little bit more, each celebrity is kind of has their own like little section. It's guarded off by like the simple like airport security measures that you see. Mm-hmm. So that's how they are kind of separated in their own section. But yeah, when we turn to our left, we just see this mob of people. I felt bad for the volunteer that was there, because I'm pretty sure I saw him like hold out his arms. I know this is great media representation if you're just hearing this audio, but you can't physically see me holding my arms out. But I saw him hold out his arms, and like he got like kind of like pushed by all the fans rushing to get in line.
Yeah, he was attempting to slow down the crowd, but it didn't really work too well.
No, it didn't. But man, I was a little bit scary. But you know, when someone is so powerful and so well known within the industry, it's understandable. It's understandable.
One of the goats of, you know, media in general, because without Stan Lee, we don't have the same pop culture that we have today. Like,
no.
Without Stan Lee, we don't get a lot of we don't get the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know,
like we don't get Spider-Man.
He's such an icon, and he created so many important characters in today's current shows and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, we owe a lot to Stan Lee, and rest in peace to one of the goats.
Yes, sir. I completely agree. Yeah, that was kind of like our first comic experience, and since then we've attended Comic Con such as Ace Comic Con. We've driven for a fan expo in Salt Lake City. We flew to Chicago. We've been to Washington, like to every single Comic Con that you can see here. Yeah, I forgot about we went to Canada too. Man, that was a trip.
Yeah, we had to go to McDonald's to exchange our currency like every morning because all the banks were closed. It was like a national holiday the day we were there.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
All
yeah.
of the banks were closed. So we had to go to McDonald's like repeatedly to to go exchange our currency.
The things we do for Comic-Cons.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been around so many Comic-Cons. We've flown, you know, like Frank said, to Chicago. We've driven to Salt Lake City. Been to several ones here in the area. So we live in Washington State, so we've been to Emerald City Comic Con, Washington State Summer Con,
the Portland
Rose City Comic Con was another big one that we've frequented actually like 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah,
so it's been quite a few times that we've been down there. And then the various fan expos that they do. I think they did Fan X Portland.
And I think so, yeah.
And some other Comic Cons, other miscellaneous cons there that pop up here and there.
Yeah, but and we're always looking for more and more to go.
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty seasoned vets of the game now.
I think so. And along the way, I mean, we've learned a few things here and there, but I just want to still talk about our Comic Con experiences in general, though. Kind of like, what's been your highlights from the Comic Cons? Which one has been your favorite? Where do you rank them? Which one has the best memories for you? Yeah. Let it all out.
Yeah, no, I think all of them have their own bright spots. So we do a lot of our Comic-Con with Elpedio, who's not here today, but we like to make it a point to travel as a group together, and yeah. I think every con that we travel to is just a great time with the guys, and you know we shoot the the fun stuff, and we mess around, that kind of thing. We get up to no good, but yeah, I think every con for me holds a special place in my heart. I think one of the most memorable ones was probably Chicago, back in 2019.
I think so.
Yeah, Chicago 2019.
2018 actually.
No, it was 19 because COVID happened like a few months after that.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was like ghostly sick. That's why I remember it so much. Like, yeah, like I was like fine on the plane ride over, but as soon as we touched down, like I just fell terribly ill, and I was like as pale as a ghost. And I have a picture with Chris Hemsworth to prove it.
Yeah, you do.
Chris Hemsworth, Brie Larson, and Tom Holland. So those were the three people that we flew to meet during that con, and it was crazy. One of the coolest cons I think we've done. It was a relatively smaller one compared to other ones that we've been to.
Yeah.
It was a pretty small show floor in terms of like the amount of vendors that were out on the floor. And even the guest list was like relatively small compared to other Comic Cons that we've been to or will attend here in the near future.
Yeah. Well, I think they're probably their appearance fee for the three.
I mean, they brought some A-listers to that Comic Con. So I think that's definitely why they, you know, made it a little bit smaller because I think a lot of the funds went towards bringing those A-listers out there. But I think for the most part, all of those guys like sold out. Like we got photo ops and we didn't brave standing in line for autographs. Yeah. But yeah, it was a crazy, Now, I think that one for me stands out the most because we also did some other things. Like, we went out to go eat, and we discovered Nando's chicken for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And then we went out to the Bean, took some pictures, and, yeah, that was a super cool experience.
Yeah.
So I would love to go back to Chicago and maybe explore some more of the city. I think that one was probably the coolest one that we've done.
Yeah, I have to put Chicago up in my top three lists. For Comic Cons that we've attended, I think so. For me, Safely, it's been number two. I think Salt Lake has been my favorite one that we've been to, just because of the mischief we got into. Lime scootering at 2-3 in the morning, yeah, out in the city, falling over a curb and then falling off the scooter.
Yeah, getting some road burn.
Yeah, and just having a good time all around. And yeah, excuse me. Yeah, man, that Comic Con in Salt Lake City, I think for me is my number one. But yeah, Chicago is probably number two, and of course I can't discount the first Comic Con. That's going to be number three. I think the first Comic Con will always be up there in my top rankings, just because it was the first experience, and just the overwhelming of everything was insane. But yeah, man. So let's get into some of the tips and tricks that we've learned along the way. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by the Apex Pack Openings channel on YouTube, where three friends open the latest sports cards, including soccer, football, and basketball, as well as the latest and greatest trading card products, which include Pokemon, One Piece, Star Wars, and so much more. Check out the channel now at youtube.com/Apex Pack Openings.
Welcome back, and thank you to the Apex Pack Openings crew for sponsoring this Apex Perspective. Well, let's get into the tips and tricks, man. We kind of established how of a seasoned vet we are at Comic Cons, and we've learned quite a few things along the way. And so I think one of the things for me that I learned along the way is wherever we go to a Comic Con, just exploring the outside the little area of the Comic Con is always good to know, just to kind of see what the area is like, where to find, you know, a hotel, see how close it is, or even places to go eat. I mean, you know, I always, wherever we go travel, I mean, I make it a point for myself and to go try in places that I don't have in my hometown, just to learn a little bit more about the area, kind of get a feel of what they like to eat, what foods, what groups.
Try new things,
yeah, basically. And so that's one of the things that I always like to, you know, talk with people about or recommend them that they do, is just try new things. But I'm going to toss it over to you. What's one thing that you've learned from attending these Comic Cons? And we'll start off kind of like generalized, and then we'll get more and more focused as we go along, our tips and tricks.
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the most important things that you can do is like research ahead of time as to who's actually attending the Comic Con, and like kind of keep your eyes peeled, because it can definitely be like an experience in its own if like nobody you know is going. But I think it makes it that much more special if you're like, oh, there's this celebrity that I really want to see. Like, I'm going to make it a point to, you know, get my tickets early, get some pre-purchase autographs or pre-purchase photo ops if you want to take a photo op, that kind of thing. Because if they take popular guests, like, some of that stuff is going to sell out. Like, you're going to see tickets not be available and like, oh, I can only go on a certain day and, you know, tickets are all sold out. You know, what can I do now? Well, sometimes, you know, you're going to be out of luck, and other times you can maybe like, oh, I can only buy a 3-day pass to, you know, get into the Comic-Con. So I think definitely one of the most important things is doing your due diligence and researching who's going. And, you know, if you want to get stuff signed, I think most Comic-Con websites now have like pricing available ahead of time, so you can get a rough idea of what you're going to spend. So I think that's one of the most important things.
Yeah, I've noticed that more and more with the Comic Cons nowadays, that they're actually putting up pricing and sometimes even pre-sale autographs and all that good stuff. And that's one thing we kind of learned the hard way when we went to Emerald City Comic Con this year.
Yeah, I think it was like kind of like spur of the moment thing. Like we weren't sure if we were going to be able to make it or not. And at the end, you know, we did have the opportunity to go. But a couple of celebrities that we went to go see had already sold out their, you know, autographs or pre-sale autographs. And we went under the impression, because in previous years, you can just, you know, stand in line, wait your turn and, you know, pay your fee at the table. But this time around they actually made it digital only. So you can only get an autograph if you secured a reservation online. So it was pretty unfortunate because two of the guys that we wanted to go see were like rarely come around this way.
Yeah.
So I think it was pretty unfortunate, but I mean, it was also on our part where we got there like day of, we got tickets day of and that kind of thing. So
I think that's one thing that I think we definitely is like a good recommendation or a good tip to give out is to do your research, like Lil mentioned, and make sure that you have everything planned out. But I think more and more of these comic cons, I think they're going to be turning more into more digital now. I mean, in our area, Seattle, I mean, is pretty green. They like to be more green heavy, green conscious. And so I can understand why they decided to go just digital only. Because even when we go to a Sounders game, it's everything there is digital. Like, there's hardly any more paper anymore. They used to give out tickets.
Yeah. Like, sporting events and everything and music or just events in general, I think. It's become the standard where everything's pretty much just digital now.
Yeah, and so it's only a matter of time before Comic-Cons become that way, too. So it might be a good idea just to kind of prepare yourselves that way and, you know, just buy the autographs ahead of time. That way, I mean, you can even save more money in along the way. So you can just pre-purchase your autographs and then still have some more money to go out and about in the city and enjoy what the city has to offer. And so that's another good trick. Not a good trick, another good tip right there that we recommend as well too. And other things that I recommend too is just go, like Leo mentioned, when you do your research, if you take personal items, that's one thing too about Comic Cons. You can take in your personal items to get them signed by the actor or the actress or the artist even. And sometimes some of the artists don't charge, some of them do, but it's also a very small minimal fee that I've seen more nowadays. Even though I know we met a couple of the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger artists and authors, and they were like $5 for an autograph on a comic, and so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and conversely to the point about digital with, you know, dealing with celebrities, I think still to this day, cash is king on the show floor. So I think especially if you want to take like just cold hard cash, I think that's definitely an option. If you're planning, if you want to, even it'll help with like budgeting. Like, okay, I'm only taking $300 cash, and that's my limit. Like, if I run out of cash, I run out of cash. So it can help you on the budgeting regard. But for the most part, from what I've seen, is people prefer cash on the floor because you don't get hit by fees, by digital fees, and that whole kind of thing. So especially for like artists or like vendors that are selling Funkos or figures or comic books. For the most part, from what I've seen and what we've seen over the years is, you know, cash will always remain king as long as they, you know, have the option to, I mean, theoretically, right? Like, I don't think anyone's going to refuse a physical cash payment. So,
yeah, that's true. Cash is definitely king. And that's another thing that's really good to remember, too, is that if you're going to use card there, if your state does charge taxes, they will charge you taxes no matter what. Yeah. And so those are the little hidden fees there when you're...
Right, even if they don't, I think there's still like transaction fees or like just additional fees for using a card. So they might not charge sales tax, but they'll probably hit you with some service fees.
Yeah, for sure.
To make up for it.
Yeah, and that's why we recommend cash if you go. So that's always, it's always a good option there as well too. Sure. You know, other things that I've learned too is that it's okay to say no. Even though it kind of sucks, but it's okay to say no. And that's one thing. I understand it from the seller's perspective. They want to sell their art. They need to make their money. And yes, getting a spot in a Comic-Con does cost money as well, too, for the vendors to be there, too. So they want to make their money for being at the show, too. So I understand that. But it is okay to say no. Don't feel too bad.
You mean, like, artists or people approach you to be like, hey, like, come take a look at this, right?
Yes. That's what you mean. Yeah, or like if they're trying to sell you like a comic book or sell their art and they're really, really being pushy about it, it's okay to say no and just walk away.
Yeah, because I mean, you got to remember a lot of these guys are there to hustle. Like, it's not just because, like you said, there's a fee and some cons, comic cons charge more than others. So there's definitely some ground they have to make up, you know, to at least break even for the weekend. So they're definitely going to do their part to try and hustle and, you know, make some money.
Yeah. And I respect in each and one of them, and they have to do what they have to do to survive. And that's understandable. But as a Comic-Con goer, it is okay to say no. Don't feel bad. Just do what you're there to do. And one thing I think Leo and I have learned is that if you're going to buy art prints, make sure you have some space at your house to hang them up. Because I think Leo and I, our first year at 2015, we bought so much art prints that we don't even know what to do with.
Nicole, they're still on the wall as we speak. Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, And especially if you're traveling, because you might not have the luxury of having a Comic-Con nearby, or if you're, you know, further away, or like even traveling by plane or by car, whatever it may be, just make sure you have the space to actually transport some stuff with you, because otherwise you might be stuck with like, oh, I gotta hit the post office before I leave.
Oh no!
Or oftentimes it's like Sunday and like everything's closed and you're like, you can't ship anything out.
Yeah, I was gonna mention our Chicago experience that we had to do that. And the other thing too is, if you're gonna be traveling that way, like Leo mentioned, have the space, but also have the protective protective gear, not even, or just the stuff that you want transported. Make sure you have the proper protective stuff, yeah, because that way it doesn't get ruined on like
protective items.
Yeah. If you, that way you have a, like a poster case or like a print case or a print binder, or a
carrying tube for posters.
Yeah. All that good stuff.
Top loaders or an art book, whatever it may be. It's super beneficial to, you know, cause you want to, you know, you want art in like good condition once it gets home. You don't want it all crumpled up and stuff. So,
And that's one thing that we kind of learned at Chicago, because we had to ship back a lot of our stuff, and just because I wasn't thinking about bringing stuff back from the show, but we ended up buying a few things, and well, we couldn't fit them into our bags, and we were thinking about like, do we cut it open or what do we do, or do we cut it in half or fold it? But in the end, we ended up deciding, okay, we're going to just find a UPS store that's actually open on a Sunday. And so we Ubered to the store, and then we packaged everything up and shipped it off. And then by the time we got back home, we were still waiting for our package. But yeah, I don't know. Lev, do you have anything else to add on to that, our little Chicago experience there?
Yeah, I think just plan ahead. I think it really matters if you plan ahead of time. Like, it's just such an important piece of, especially with traveling longer distances to Comic-Cons. You know, if you live in the city, like you might have the luxury of like, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, drive half an hour to my house real quick and, you know, drop some stuff off and come back or that kind of thing. But like for us that travel to Chicago, you know, we have limited real estate in our travel bags and that kind of thing. So yeah, just plan ahead of time of what you want to get done, or if you have stuff in mind to get signed, like Frank said, you know, get the protective items that you need, whether it's top loaders or art books, binders, poster boards, poster tubes, whatever it may be. It's oftentimes it'll probably be cheaper for you to get that stuff ahead of time, because most Comic-Cons now have vendors there dedicated to for that kind of stuff, so you can probably buy them on site. But typically they'll, you know, upcharge you pretty good. So
yeah, shout out to Russ though. He's always got the best pricing and best gear available for productive stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we've been going to Comic-Cons. Another thing that I will recommend as well too is that if you're gonna get like your Funko Pop sign, just be aware that more and more recently we've noticed that some of the pricing has gone up just exclusively for Funko Pops. So be prepared to kind of pay like a premium price for them. Not authors, but actors or actresses will have like a certain celebrities. Yeah, there you go. That's a good word. The celebrities have like a pricing options, and just be aware of that they do charge for autographs. Some of them range from $40, some range up to $200 or even more.
Yeah, depending on who it is.
Depending on who it is. And so
if the bigger the actor, the more expensive it's going to be.
Yes.
So
be prepared for that. Yeah. And just be prepared for Funko Pops at a little bit premium price. From what I've noticed, it's kind of always been like $20 more from what their autograph price is.
Yeah, and so, some celebrities are still remain the same. Like, they won't give you an upcharge. But in more recent years, you know, Funkos have become so popular and high in demand in terms of, like, getting stuff signed. For whatever reason, celebrities have begun, you know, charging a little extra specifically for Funko Pops.
And I think it has to do with more of like the aftermarket, like after they get the autograph signed, and then there's, you know, people that are flipping them to make a quick buck or something. So I think that's why they kind of noticed. I think they noticed. I mean, they're not blind. So I think they've noticed that. Yeah, it's all business in the end, but they're just trying to make their money as well too. And that's kind of part of their livelihood too, is to attend these Comic-Cons and invest their time in going out to these shows, which I am grateful that they do. I haven't had a bad experience with any actors?
I've only had one bad experience.
Yeah, me too. But
I think it's probably the same guy we're thinking of.
Is it?
Was it from our first Comic-Con?
Yeah.
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 So just to kind of elaborate a little bit more on this, this was from our first Comic-Con, and I think his name is, I don't know. It was Bruce Timm, right? Bruce Timm. He was a big, he made a lot of all the.
So he's responsible for the creation of like Batman Beyond and some of those animated shows. I don't know if he did Batman the Animated Series or not.
I don't
know. He might have been part of that, but I know for sure he did Batman Beyond. And we specifically got like this really cool Batman Beyond.
Yeah, so I bought a Batman Beyond metal print from this artist that's really cool. Does really awesome work. And it was a, you know, a print of the Gotham City skyline with Batman Beyond flying through there. And I thought, like, oh, this is really cool. Let me get it signed by Bruce Timm. And when I showed up to Bruce Timm, the first thing he said, this isn't mine. And I was just like, oh, well, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. And so that was kind of like the...
He very reluctantly signed the print. And that was like the only one of all of the people that we've met. And we've met quite a few. Like, you can probably... I think we might have pictures on our Instagram. You can go check the Apex Apex Pack Openings Instagram. But we have a lot of signed Funko Pops.
Yeah, we'll
that's kind of like our niche is we like to get Funko Pops signed for our personal stuff.
For sure. I think we'll probably...
Or we can upload a picture by the time this
goes I'll roll out an Instagram page for the Apex perspective, too.
Yeah, we can do that, too.
That way we can keep the Apex Pack Openings one a little bit separate. Sorry, while we talk a little bit business here. But
to get back to the point, that was, like, one of the only few negative experiences was Bruce Timm way back in 2015. So hopefully he's changed and he's been a better person to his other fans. But, at least for us, it was a pretty sour note.
I mean, now I know, like, you know, like, I do get it. Like, it's their work, right? And so they want to sign the work they do. So I understand. Maybe next time I meet Bruce Timm,
he would have had the same reaction if I would have taken something that I drew.
And
taking it to him. He's like, this isn't mine. Like, why am I going to sign this? You know? So
we'll see. Maybe it's the same concept. We'll see what happens.
You can put it to the test next time we see him.
Yeah. And that's another thing too. That was probably our most negative experience too. One thing I will also recommend too is that do your research on the actors. Like, if you're going to get voice actors, make sure you like go to their IMDb or check out a good website that I like to use is Behind the Voice Actor. Yeah. And that's one website that I've like spent too much time on just perusing what the voice actors, what they've done, all their works that they've done. And we went to an Anime Washington Comic Con. This was the first one. And I met the voice actress who does Miggy in Parasite, but I wish I would have done a little bit more research and not just relied on Behind the Voice Actor, because she was also the Going Merry in One Piece. Yeah. And I would have taken my Going Merry with Luffy Funko Pop and have her sign that and use the quote that she says at the when she's burning. And that pitiful moment, I would have her done that quote on that Funko Pop and then have Luffy signed it as well, too, saying, thank you, Going Merry, or thank you, Merry.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool moment. Because after we found that out, like, I went back and it, like, they have it listed on there, but as like, the name of the ghost that... Spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched One Piece. But we're going a little into detail. But, yeah, I mean, it just goes to show, do your research and make sure you have all your, you know, ducks in order and ducks in a row and get who you want signed. So, there's a lot of actors that have done like hundreds of roles. Like there's
Steve Bloom.
Yeah. Like I think over 300 or something like that, or maybe 500. I can't remember, but yeah, there's like so many actors that have done so many roles. So, just do your research and you might find like, oh, this person did this. What? No way. Like you probably run into quite a bit of those.
I definitely.
Yeah. At least from our experiences. So yeah, do your research, guys. It honestly, it pays a lot to actually do your research and know ahead of time of what you want to do. Cause I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do at Comic Cons. And I think probably the next tip is don't go into a Comic Con expecting to get everything done. Yes. Like there's so much available and so many places, like all the panels that they do, all the, you know, autographs, all the photo ops. And then on top of that, you have the massive show floors that they put on. So you can go in and like try and get as much done as possible. But I mean, just like we've been mentioning, you know, do your planning because oftentimes like one thing like, oh, I'm standing in line for an extra half hour, I'm going to miss this panel, or I'm off doing this thing and I'm not going to be able to catch whatever panel I was trying to get to. So I think, yeah, definitely do your research ahead of time. Most places put out a schedule ahead of time as well, like as you get closer to the show, so you can do some planning as you know, time gets closer to a Comic-Con.
Yeah, and I will echo those same sentiments. Just be prepared. As you get more familiar with Comic-Cons as you go, you'll kind of figure out like what you like best and what you don't like and what you want to really do at the Comic-Cons. Like for us now that we've been to so many, I think most of the time we just go in to get our autographs signed and get our Funko Pop signed. And if we're looking for like a special Funko that we're missing in our collection, we'll take a look. But I think more recently, I think we've just been focused on getting into the autograph lines just because they tend to pile up a little bit.
It tends to be the longest process out of pretty much anything. Photo ops tend to go pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I think the longest part is probably just standing in line for when they do like the roll call basically for when photo ops start.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the longest part is definitely probably waiting in line, because a lot of celebrities, like, they take the time with their fans and they chat it up. They take the time to be as nice of a person as they can be to all the people that are there to see them. Yeah. So I think that's a really cool aspect of Comic-Cons.
And just to kind of share a positive like story, not just rely on one negative example, but one of the positive examples is when we met the voice actress of Nami. Yeah. Lucy Christensen, I believe, is her name. Christian?
Yeah.
Lucy yeah, Christian. And she was awesome. I felt so bad for like everybody else behind us, but I think her, my Leo, myself, and her, we were chatting for about half an hour.
It was at least like 15 minutes.
At least 15 to 20
like
minutes.
Because yeah. That's how cool of a person she is.
Yeah.
But I think it was like at least like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we got into like not just like, you know, like, oh, how's the weather, you know, type of that conversation. No, but we got into some deep conversation. She actually asked us what we do for a living.
Yeah.
And then we got into talking about what, you know, what we love about our jobs and what we do and, you know, and all that stuff. And so it was a really unique, beautiful experience. And we've had that experience with quite a few other guests, not just her, but John Wesley Shipp is always really nice to talk to. He's always a good time. Very humble, very nice. I always liked meeting Tom Welling. He's always pretty cool. He always take a quick like.
He's such a bro.
He is such a bro, man. He is such a bro. And so many actors that we've met.
Yeah.
The lines do pile up, but the ones where like there's not that big of a line is always pretty amazing. I will share this one. We were at WA SummerCon and I was in the line for I can't remember his name now, but he voiced General Iroh and Aku from Samurai Jack. And this guy decided to, in the middle of signing stuff for everybody, he just stepped to the side, he projected his voice so all of us around his table can hear him, and he recited the entire Samurai Jack opening in the General Iroh voice, even though it's very similar to Aku, but man, it was so cool. And that was a unique experience. I love the show. I love them as Aku.
Greg Baldwin.
Yeah, Greg Baldwin.
I was thinking it was that his whole time. Yeah,
Greg Baldwin. Thank you, Leo. Yeah. And that guy was that was so cool. That's one thing that will always stick with me too, is hearing that Samurai Jack opening in the General Iroh voice. It was awesome.
Yeah, man. A lot of really, really positive experiences that we've had. So if you're thinking about going to a Comic-Con, I think, you know, just go for it, man. There's so much cool things to see, and even if you don't go for any celebrities, like, there's still a lot of cool panels you can attend, a lot of stuff on the show floor or even Artist Alley, like lots of really cool art, lots of really nerdy things that you, if you want to go in and, you know, try and find, it's probably a good chance you'll find it there.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of like mainly our big tips and tricks at the moment right now. You know, as we go to more and more Comic-Cons, we might do an updated episode and just kind of revamp this one a little bit more.
Another couple little things just like real quick to close it out. We don't really cosplay, but if you do cosplay, I'd say like prepare your outfits and stuff like way ahead of time and know that like it can get pretty uncomfortable and pretty cramped in these show floors. So if you have like a lot of pointy things or a lot of big objects that you have with you, it might be a little hard to carry through the show floor just because of the sheer amount of people.
And remember, cosplay is not consent.
Yes, that is a big thing that a lot of Comic-Cons stress. So yeah, always just be respectful, be nice to other people. Everyone's there to have a good time and meet other celebrities and that kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, plan your outfits ahead of time. And I think, like, if you have, like, fake weapons, you have to...
Yeah, you have to go through security. Yeah. You definitely have to get checked and then tagged. And they put, like, either, like, peace a little ribbon.
What they call it?
I think so.
Or something like that?
Yeah. So you think you get, like, tied a little bit, like, a little just ribbon.
Basically a marker that says, like, oh, this isn't a real weapon.
Yes. Yes.
That kind of thing. So, because I know a lot of people like to cosplay, like just one that comes to mind, Hellboy with his pistol and stuff. Yeah. Like, they'll put, like... Yeah, like ribbons or some marker on the gun, basically saying, "Okay, this isn't real."
And we have seen some pretty amazing cosplays out there. Some of you all are very talented, and keep doing what y'all doing. And if you're gonna get into cosplay, you got it. You have a lot of inspiration, and I'm pretty sure the community is really nice and helpful, and they'll give you tips and tricks. And so that's what I've noticed from the cosplays I follow on Instagram, that they're always willing to help, and they're always giving advice on their Instagram stories too. So. Yeah. Maybe one day the Apex Perspective crew will cosplay a trio together or something. I don't know. Maybe
the Three Musketeers. Yeah.
Yeah. But Leo, any other tips and tricks that you want to share off the top of your head that you've been thinking of? If not, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. It's under the Apex Pack Openings. We're uploading new content there. We're ripping lots of cards. So don't forget to check us out there. Check out our socials too. We're on Instagram. I'm pretty sure I'm going to roll out an Apex Perspective Instagram account just for that. Just to kind of share more of the pictures and stuff that from like today's episode. I would have uploaded Chris Hemsworth photo op that we had together and show Ghostly Leo. And maybe just a snapshot of all the Funko Pops that we have autographed on there. Just kind of share even more about what we have in our PC. But Leo, anything else?
Yeah, just really quick. As we get closer to closing, I keep thinking of more stuff. Pack like comfortable clothes, like wear, like if you're not cosplaying, just like wear comfortable like shoes, because you do stand in line quite a bit if you're like there for autographs. So I'd say wear like nice shoes, breathable clothes, whatever it may be, because you're like pretty much like sardines standing in line, all packed right next to each other. Take bags too, like take water, take portable chargers, because I mean, at least for me, I always like find myself with like 5% left at the end of the day. So I think like portable chargers and just like the general planning aspect of just, you know, plan accordingly to
be around people.
Yeah.
And I will say, please, you know, I know this is a stigma as well too, but please wear deodorant.
Yeah, just clean up after yourself.
Clean up a little bit after yourself, because there's been instances where it's been kind of uncomfortable at times. Yeah. And so, but yeah, please clean up a little bit.
Yeah. And another thing too, just people that you're standing in line with, like you're there for the same thing. And oftentimes, like if you're there for the same thing, you might have similar interests. So don't be afraid to like talk to people, like just like network and connect with people. Like there's a lot of opportunity there to meet people that share similar interests, and you can, you know, develop friendships from Comic-Con. So I know it can be a little scary, cause you're like, there's a lot of people here and that kind of thing. But yeah. I think you're fine for the most part that, you know, you can talk to people about like, oh, what are you getting signed? Oh, I'm getting this. Oh, what are you getting signed? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a very nice, I would say at least 95, 99% of the people at a Comic-Con are really friendly, and they're there for the same thing. So you have a lot of things in common to talk about right then and there. So yeah, when you decide to go to your first Comic-Con, enjoy yourself, have fun, meet new people. Talk,
stay safe,
enjoy yourself. Yeah, be respectful, do all those type of things, and you'll have a really, really good Comic-Con experience. But
100%. No, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up for me what I had as well. Okay. The last few things that came to mind, but no, yeah, I think if you guys did enjoy, I mean, you know, give us some feedback, you know, feel free to message us on our platforms, drop some comments on the YouTube videos, that kind of thing. But
you'll find this episode on YouTube and on Apple Music, wherever you find your podcast near you. And so without further ado, thank you guys for listening to the Apex Perspective. My name is Frank, and I've been joined by
Leo. Thank you for having me, Frank.
And wherever you're at, take care and don't forget to smile, and we'll see you on the next one.